Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, greetings, Earthlings, and other life forms who drop in for whatever this is. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the ever-present saucer pod, which we're presently engaged in. We're in Ebola land now, which is kind of like steak land if you've seen the movie about deranged vampires, cannibals, and berserkers. This is a government-sponsored population depreciation effort on behalf of the 1% and the central bankers. It's got a lot to do with resources that those with too much wish to steal so that they can have even more. It's also about exercising control by creating situations of fear and panic, and also, yeah, also just because they can, because that is the sort of psychopathic monsters they happen to be. The creation of Ebola and the effects of it tell you all you need to know about what these creatures are composed of, and this is the only one thing, just one thing among numerous offenses against humanity. These are the times, as Thomas Paine said, that try men's souls. No doubt it tries women's souls as well, but that's how he put it. In any case, it is in times like these that one finds out what they're made of, and times in which people discover that the divine is real or they aren't moved in that direction, and that might be the whole point. No doubt the whole point of existence is whether you care one way or the other about the ineffable. After all, he splintered a portion of himself into all of us, and he won't be complete until he sorts and gathers them all back together again. I won't presuppose whether that means salvation for every living soul or whether it doesn't. It's neither my place nor my job to deal with that. My job is to be part of the salvation end in some form or another, and on that account, I'm not altogether informed about what data adds up to. I met some guy on a beach when I was 21, and for whatever his reason, he dramatically altered my life so that wherever it was headed, it was no longer headed there, unless, of course, it was headed there in any case. And I probably would have known he was no ordinary man or not, even a man, maybe, at all, had I not been completely under his spell. A few months later, and some thousands of miles further east, he raised my kundalini, and so powerful an event was it that it was some years before I was able to integrate back into this steaming morass of undesirable circumstances. Whoever or whatever he was, he never made an appearance again, but I've been led to believe he has communicated with me. Since that time, there has been a blur of events that haven't made a whole lot of sense, and an ongoing reoccurrence of supernatural events designed to confuse the hell out of me. Finally, I arrived at the point where I do things like this, and that is pretty much all I do, and by means sometimes mysterious and sometimes not so mysterious, I manage from day to day, from week to week. Invisible voices, well, perhaps all voices are invisible. Let me say voices that are unaccompanied by a visible persona that I can see. Anyway, these voices have been telling me for some time that something good is coming soon. What I am supposing is that their watches keep a different kind of time. Well, let me not come across as confused, insecure, or some variant on any of those. I'm not really. For whatever reason, the broadcasts go the way they go as illustrations of something. We've been waiting on the things that are coming, and that includes all the things we aren't aware of and which may not be visibly present at the moment. Well, for a long time. It certainly looks like we're going to see a serious intensification of something rather real soon-like. It doesn't happen often, but every now and again I find myself not knowing what to say. What do you tell people when you know so little? I draw pretty much everything I say out of a well that opened up for me a long time ago. Metaphorically speaking, I drop my bucket down into the darkness. That's a deep well. And I can't see the surface. So anyway, I drop that bucket down and then it pulls itself back up. And, well, like sometimes it's also a pump handle I push up and down on until the water just runs all by itself. I often hear from people that question of how do I get to do this? Also, it's really a simple thing. Let me reference Truman Capote, whom I once met in a bookstore called Bookland in the town of Palm Springs, California, where he lived. What I'm going to quote now did not come up in our conversational exchange. That's unimportant. Anyway, some fellow came up to him one day, and I suspect it happened in front of witnesses, so it was probably one of those soirees or cocktail parties that writers and artists attend. Wall-to-wall turtlenecks and tweed jackets with leather elbow patches and lots of white wine and cheese with little toothpicks sticking out of the cubes. So this guy comes up to Capote and tells Capote he wants to be a writer. And Capote says to him, "Where's your trunk?" The guy replies, "Trunk? What trunk?" Capote replies, "That great big trunk that's filled with all the things you wrote and threw in there because you couldn't finish them or no one wanted them. Where's your trunk?" The fellow didn't have a trunk. I know what Capote's talking about, though. I've got a trunk. Or I had that trunk until I simply offloaded it in Anahuasca, where I was recently living, after I had to vacate the location. If you want to do everything, you have to love doing it. If you want to do anything, that is, you have to love doing it. It has to call you all the time to do more of it. If you don't love what you do, then one of two things will happen or not happen. You won't do it at all, or you won't do it very well. This is one of the main problems in life for most people. They don't love what they do. Because people do not love what they do, they generate stress. They generate depression and a lack of enthusiasm for life. In many cases, evil becomes attracted because they are confused about what they want, and the lines between good and evil have been blurred by those who seek to manifest hell on earth. There are a couple of terrestrial capitals for the dark side. Tel Aviv certainly is one, and London another. Of course, we can't overlook New York City and D.C., which are also places of pestilence and darkness. We must learn to carry the light within us. We have to put on our multifaceted miner's headlamp in the front and lighting up our way ahead. At all times, we should have the light of discrimination going before us. To our right, the light of truth should shine. To our left, the light of strength, and from the back, shining inside our minds, upon the inner bottom surface of our mind, there should be the light of concentration to make it possible for us to visualize and bring into manifestation any righteous thing or condition. This technique I have taken from a meditation in the back of The Way to the Kingdom. Let us be filled with light. Light will drive away all the inimical forces of darkness. There is no point in paying any attention to the world outside unless we can do something about it. If we visualize the world as we would like to see it, it will take that shape in time because the world is fluid and plastic. We can manage the whole of existence from within. The world is like a linkage of magnets that suck the senses outward toward the object of fascination. If you don't control the force of this magnetism, it'll control you. Lao Tzu once said something like, "If you want to be hot, keep stirring about. Be still if you want to keep cool. And in all the world, one day, no doubt, your way will be the rule." As important as it is, very few people spend very much time investigating their habitual behavior, and even less time seeking to correct portions of it. People spend far more time seeking to advance their interests, whatever they imagine them to be. It's human nature, and the currents of the culture at this time are very strong. Not only that, but when you attempt to swim in the opposite direction, you can actually antagonize the other swimmers, not to mention your immediate circle when you seek to be other than predictable you. We all make mistakes, and they track us, and they bug us, and sometimes they give us no peace. Many people who look back at the unfortunate mess they have made of their life see no possible good outcome, thinking they'll just mess it up again, and what can they do when they're surrounded by people getting away with all sorts of criminal activity, as long as they are members of the privileged class? We live in a time of no good deeds going unpunished. It might look grim and insurmountable, but it is not. This is the result of a negative mindset that sees things through a lens of distortion. It is a demonstrable truth that one can fail 1,000 times and one day succeed beyond all expectation. I encourage people to read biographies for this very reason. When you see the things that some people had to get up around before they got so successful that a biography was even written about them, well, you can imagine maybe or maybe not. You seldom know the more intimate details of people who impacted on life here. If you were asked about the life of Edgar Allan Poe or Mark Twain, how much would you know? Yet these writers have entertained, educated, and influenced people the world over. Most people don't know whether they were happy or sad. Do biographies ever tell a consistent tale? Certainly when it comes to murderous scoundrels like George Bush or Henry Kissinger, you can be certain that the book is one big lie. Though, no biographies, except for truly exceptional accounts where the biographer was also able to meet the subject, well, they're seldom comprehensive otherwise. And truly great souls are often subject to truly great tests. One need only read about men like Milarepa to see how much difficulty can come around. Not to mention what we think we know about Jesus Christ and others. There's a fairly large segment of the population that seldom focuses on what it took for heroic souls to get to where they got or accomplished what they accomplished. They retain the high points in the Cliff Notes resume. There's a classic exchange between Gandalf and Bilbo, which I think takes place in The Hobbit. And Bilbo says something like, "You know, Gandalf, I really wanted to have an adventure, but you never think of the hardships that can come with having an adventure. You don't imagine having to sleep in the rain and have a big knot of a root sticking into your back, so you wake up all sore and stiff the next morning. You never think about the possibility of being eaten by trolls or burned to death by a dragon. Those are the kind of things that can happen in adventures." This is what is implied in that Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. I think we can safely say these are interesting times. Life is often unpredictable, too. I am presently in a place at a time when I did not expect to be here and doing something I did not expect to be doing, certainly not here. For whatever the reason, I now have about 2 more months at this location, and certainly I could have experienced, expected to be at my next destination at this very moment. And now I see the specter of Ebola hovering over international travel possibilities. Will this or some other pending catastrophe change everything where one can't actually go anywhere, and is that why I got delayed in the first place? It's foolish to speculate on such things. And I'm also reminded of the lava flowing down the side of one of the Hawaiian volcanoes which rests on the island I'm headed toward. Yeah, there are many, many things one could focus on, but the present in every sense is where a focused and aware person will put their thoughts. Everything is controlled from within, or can be. Exercising or entertaining fear and apprehension is a losing proposition. Despite appearances to the contrary, one must hold to a positive mindset and the successful outworking of every enterprise. With many of us, our negativity is so deeply ingrained that we can often be unaware of it. This is what I meant earlier about one investigating themselves in their habitual behavior. There are clues aplenty to be found when we study ourselves objectively. What is the recurrent outcome of our patterns? Where do we wind up? Are we missing our objectives time after time? Does one suspicious event after another intrude upon our efforts and sidetrack us every time we get near the finish line? Do we have some kind of built-in failure mechanism? These things reside in the subconscious. The subconscious can be reprogrammed, obviously. The subconscious is already programmed. This is what Ernest Holmes' Science of the Mind and the major arcana of the tarot, two separate and independent techniques, are all about. They're about reprogramming the subconscious to free us from the telepathic invasions that we experience as children and the grooved furrows we make in our own consciousness by repeating the same thing over and over. We have to discover the better way and follow it without exception and without diversion. Okay, my friends, yet again we find ourselves at the end of another broadcast. I haven't been all that well in the last week, so you'll forgive me for coughing and various things like that. It hasn't really run its course yet, but anyway, I will see you next week, if there is one. I thank you for your patience with the poor technical end of the recording. I don't know how long that will continue. We shall see. In the meanwhile, the in-between while. Stay strong, steady, and aware, and the spirit of the ineffable will take you there. That said, what the hey, let me recite Cardinal Wolsey's soliloquy, which I posted on today's Petri dish. So farewell to the little good you bear me. Farewell, a long farewell to all my greatness. This is the state of man. Today he puts forth the tender leaves of hopes, tomorrow's blossoms, and bears his blushing honors thick upon him. The third day comes a frost, a killing frost, and when he thinks, good easy man, full surely his greatness is a ripening, nips his root, and then he falls as I do. I have ventured like little wanton boys that swim on bladders, this many summers in a sea of glory, but far beyond my depth my high-blown pride at length broke under me, and now has left me weary and old with service to the mercy of a rude stream that must forever hide me. Vain pomp and glory of this world, I hate you. I feel my heart new opened. Oh, how wretched is that poor man that hangs on princes' favors. There is, betwixt that smile we would aspire to, that sweet aspect of princes and their ruin, more pangs and fears than wars or women have. And when he falls like Lucifer, never to hope again. Much love, Lady Nature, in all your permutations. Inshallah! Hare Krishna! Greetings, my dear friend Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. And as ever, carry on, Baha'u'llah, Aloha, and
he's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call, designed for everyone. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.